Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to start with a quote this morning. Sometimes I struggle the most with my sermon preparation is my introduction. And as you turn to 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to share something with you, then I'll probably repeat it a little bit later. But Mark Twain said that life is a losing proposition. You'll never get out of it alive. You ever feel that way? And in case you're wondering, in all honesty, as we look here at 1 Corinthians 15, he was wrong. Because we may pass on in life, but we're going to be with the Lord. But we do feel that way sometime. And this message is set out to prove that he was absolutely wrong in what he said. I know we may feel that way, and we all know by now. And bottom line is, how we feel is how we feel, but our emotions will lie to us. And I'm so glad we have a word of God to help us. See, every follower of Christ can overcome this progressive world that seeks to erase God and his followers. Now, I'm not against progress. I like progress. In fact, if you go back in time, you go back to some mission fields, and when we were on the mission field, things were different. We didn't have this wonderful building. We had a hall with a bathroom that was shared, and then we had a hall with one door and no windows and a path that went down to the bathroom. In fact, sometimes it's harder to go backwards than it is to be introduced to something you've never had before. Two of our daughters is with us, but I can remember our two youngest daughters, and since Kayla's here, I'll pick on her. She growing up in Moldova, in a third world country, not having a lot of progress. When we first came back to the States, after being there for 4+ years, she goes to the bathroom, gets through singing her little song and doing her deed. She gets up and the toilet flushes. She runs out crying because she thought she broke it, because it flushed automatically. We didn't have the hair dryers. The kids would be banging on that thing to try to get it to turn off. They were just telling to keep running. That's progress. We had services in one building. We had no children's ministry. We had no youth ministry. We had no ladies ministry. We just had a church family ministry. And as we growed, later had some room. We had some things outdoors because we still just had one rented hall that we worshiped in. And here's what I liked about that hall and why I never wanted to move. It belonged to the communist government. And we preached the gospel in it 3 times a week. Now, later we grew. We made some changes. We met outside. We had classes outside. But we just had the one building. We had the potbelly stove right in the middle. Some of y'all don't believe me, but some of my kids grew up this way. Had a potbelly stove in some of the village churches, and that was a source of heat. You wanted to be warm during the services, you either sat on the front row with the preacher closer to the hot preaching, or you sat around the stove. But you had to get there early to get either seat. In the summertime, there was no heating and air. We had one door and no windows. And we kept the door closed, because if we didn't, the goats and the chickens and cows would stick their head in. I didn't mind because I would count them as intended. I get those numbers up. But you know, we all like progress. But it's the type of progress that we're talking about. See, progressive as a noun of or relating to or characterized by progress. And by the way, I like progress. Making use of or interested in new ideas, findings, or opportunities. As an adjective, Merriam-Webster describes it as one that is progressive, one believing in moderate political change, and especially social improvement by governmental action. That one little word in here, I hope I don't offend anybody, but if the government's involved, I don't know that I'm for it, amen? I'm just not quite sure if they know how to do it right. But let's get to our text, and we'll get rolling around this morning, back to our quote, and then to a couple points this morning. Over the last several weeks, we've looked at overcoming fear, overcoming temptation. We talked about overcoming the chaotic world that we live in. We spent a couple weeks on adversity. We looked at worldliness, scoffers, family turbulence. We spent 2 weeks on that. And today, the progressive world. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we'll begin reading in verse number 51. 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We all shall be changed. Good verse for the nursery. Amen. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. If you would, Brother Ed, it's good, so good to have you, Miss Faye, back. Would you mind standing and lifting your voice and ask God's blessings on the word and the preaching this morning? Brother Ed knows about progress. He grew up in Arkansas. Amen. Amen. As we started off a little bit earlier, Mark Twain said, life is a losing proposition. You never get out of it alive. I know we've all felt that way sometime or another, but like I said earlier, there's really not a whole lot of truth to it. See, like today, some of the people at Corinth question the resurrection of the dead. And when we get discouraged and we get frustrated and these things come up with all that's going around in our world today, we could remind ourselves, we may have to endure some things for a season, but when they put my old body in the grave, I'm already gone out of here. They may be having a service for me, but I'm already with the Lord. We don't need to allow this present world, today, tomorrow, next week, to get us down too much as we've talked about in the past. We need to remind ourselves that we serve an unchanging God. And every, amen, Brother Roger, every follower of Christ can overcome this progressive world. No matter what word you want to use today that politics wants to throw in, or this crowd or that crowd, we can and will overcome it. And though even though they may seek to erase God and his followers, we know that we can overcome. How? Number one, by remembering how brief life is. By remembering how brief life is. James chapter 4 and verse 13 through 15 says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this and do that. You see, as followers of Christ, our lives will end in one of two ways. First of all, it'll end by God calling us home by death, as we see in verse number 51. And here, as we see death, or can be referred to as sleep, is a home going to the Christian. A funeral, dear friends, should reflect that. There is no misery in being with Jesus. Hey, there's no misery at all. Now, this past week, as I mentioned before, I've been battling this bone spur, plantar fasciitis, whatever it may be. But going to the doctor, getting that little bit of an injection of cortisone, made me feel so much better. I still have some aches and pains, but nowhere near as bad as it hurt before. But one day, all of that's going to be gone. All the aches, all the pains, all the concerns of the world, all the frustration of what's taking place in our world today. See, death is an appointed time. We all shall sleep one day, and there's no misery, once again, of being with Jesus. Hebrews 9:27 tells us, as it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, to judgment. And the only way we're going to get out of death is if we actually hear that trumpet sound. Other than that, we may face it one day. Psalm 48 and verse 14 tells us, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Dear friends, what a comforting thought. He is my guide in life as well as in death. Are we going to allow him to guide our life? Or are we going to get distracted on what's going on in the world today? Are we going to get distracted because they booted God out of school? Are we going to get distracted because all the rules are trying to take away amendments and rights? Are we going to focus on God and say, Lord, I'm going to commit it to you. I know you're with me in life and in death, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do what I can do, but I'm going to keep living for you. See, death is appointed time, but also death is a precious time. Psalm 116 and verse 15 tells us, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. And Enoch walked with God. Not this one here, another one. And Enoch walked, well, he does too, but this the next part doesn't apply to him. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Dear friends, now, that is fellowship with God. I don't know about you, every once in a while when I'm out on my prayer walk, or every once in a while I'm in my office studying and praying in my mind, and I say, Lord, would you help me just get away from everything in the world and let me just have some time with you right now. That's how I start my prayer time. Lord, let me just erase everything. Lord, I know I can't necessarily go with you today, but Lord, will you let me be with you for the next time, this next period, in a time of prayer, and Lord, may it be just you and I. Folks, I don't know about you, there's a whole lot of white noise going around in our world today. And I'm so glad that I can break from it. I can come to the house of God. I can fellowship with the men and women of our church. I can get away on Tuesdays with the guys, sit around the table, some coffee, talk about all kinds of things, laugh, cry, have a good time, and forget about what's going on in the world around us. Dear friends, one day the Lord will return. But we need to remember, as we think about it, of how brief our life really is. See, when a Christian dies, his soul and spirit leaves the physical body and enters into that third heaven, God's heaven, into the very presence of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Folks, I don't know about you. I'm not necessarily ready to get on the bus today, but I'm ready when the Lord blows that trumpet. I'm ready when I take my last breath. I'm ready to go. But there are a few more people in the meantime that I'd like to see get saved. I'd like to come for them to come to know the Lord. Dear friends, if we're going to overcome the things that we battle in this world, we need to remember that life is brief and enjoy the time we have with one another in service unto the Lord. 2 Corinthians tells us in chapter 5 and verse 6 through number 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes, God may take us home by death, but let her be God calling us home in the rapture. Either by death or in the rapture, as we see in verses 52 through 54 of our text that we read. See, as we look at the word rapture, rapture is when Jesus Christ returns to remove the church, all believers in Christ from the earth. The rapture is described very well in the Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. Believers who have died will have their bodies resurrected, and along with believers who are still living. And we'll meet the Lord in the air. This will happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Dear friends, we will be instantly caught up in the rapture if the Lord doesn't take us before then. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And friends, if we think about how brief life really is, should we not be more concerned of taking advantage of being used for the Lord than worrying about what might happen? Let's don't get caught up in the Chicken Little syndrome of the sky is falling. Yeah, it might be falling, but it hasn't hit earth yet. And until then, we can be active in serving the Lord, serving one another, encouraging one another, and warning others about the coming of the Lord Jesus. Yes, we will be instantly caught up in the rapture, and we will be renewed in the rapture. 1 Corinthians 15:42 tells us, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, but is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown in a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Dear friends, yes, the Lord is coming. It's not too far away. I don't know when, but I know this. Life is brief. And I'm not going to allow the naysayers and those around to discourage me or to get me down. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. But we all, when open face beholding as a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Dear friends, there will be a rapture for some, but there will be renewal for all that are in Christ. Dear friends, are you prepared for eternity? Boy, don't let all this going on overwhelm you. Don't let it discourage you. Don't let the progress, positive, negative, discourage you, keep you from serving the Lord. Don't be concerned about them trying to cancel God. God is unchanging. We live in upside down world with the closing things that took place, people complaining about things that were taking place, people going on strike, and yet all the time wanting to close down the private schools and the Christian schools that are still going on, but some of the very people that were striking were sending their kids to the private school. That's the kind of chaos that we have in our world today, but we can't allow it to distract us because life is brief. Every follower of Christ can overcome this progressive world that seeks to erase God and his followers, not only by remembering how brief life is, but number two, by remembering where our source of strength comes from. By remembering where our source of strength comes from. Have we forgotten who is in charge? Again, you've heard me say 100 times, has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? He knows exactly what's going on. It says here in verse 57 of our text, but thanks be to God, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is why we have victory in Jesus. He's still on the throne. He's still in charge. And we need to remind ourselves that he is the source of our strength. And where our strength comes from is he provides. Psalm 98 and verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him the victory. Dear friends, he is our provider. He is our strength. God gives us the victory without any conditions as his children. He does not withhold it, but freely provides it through the Lord Jesus Christ, who has already been given victory over death. Dear friends, he is our provider. He provides hope. In other words, to cherish, to desire, that anticipation. He gives us that hope. Our hope is in the victorious, finished works of Christ. He has risen, and so shall we one day. This provides hope or confidence for the future in the progressive world that we live in. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And dear friends, if he is our source of strength and he is our provider, are we allowing him to work in us and to work through us to give us the day by strength that we need to serve him and to make a difference? He not only provides for us, but he also strength, but he provides grace. Unmerited divine assistance, or God's riches at Christ's expense. Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are under the law but under grace? God forbid. Dear friends, none of us deserve the grace that God gives us, but it's unlimited, and he provides it for all. Dear friends, God is our provider, but he's also our source, as we see once again in verse 57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has given us the victory over sin, Satan, death, and hell. It says our victory comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source. He is our path to victory. Dear friends, every follower of Christ can overcome the problems they're facing, the progressive world, all that is going around. Again, I like progress, but not in the sense sometimes as this word is used in the political sense. I want us to go forward, have the freedom to worship, the freedom to praise God, no matter who's looking in, who's watching, and what's going on. But we live in a world today, as I prayed before, that pastors are concerned. In many, many aspects, they should be. We're fortunate. There's pastors in Canada, north of us, that have been arrested for street preaching, just for telling others about Christ. They've been gathered up, put into prison, some for a period of time, some for a longer period of time. I've had the privilege of talking to men in Eastern Europe while serving as a missionary that served time in prison in the gulags there in Siberia simply for preaching the gospel. And after spending 20 plus years, 25 or more years on the mission field, at least 8 of those in Eastern Europe, I see the writing on the wall here in America. I don't want to be like Eastern Europe. I don't want to be that way, but we're progressing. We're moving that area in some areas that we need to stop. But dear friends, we don't need to allow that to fear us or to intimidate us. We can still serve God, do our part, pray, and tell others about Christ. Folks, the more people that get saved, the more people to come to know the Lord, there'll be more people that want to have that part of their life. Now, we know it's going to change eventually. The Bible tells us. But dear friends, until that time comes, our job is to reach all that we can for Christ. Not allow it to discourage us. Not allow it to cause us to throw in the towel and to give up. This morning during my Sunday school class, I spoke a little bit about high school football and coming in on and watching the films after the Friday night game, and we got a grade over everything that took place. There's one thing I liked about going to the films when we won. Because if we know it was to be enjoyable, most of us would score pretty high. But when we lost, which we only lost a few times, had the benefit of being on a team that won the state championship my junior and senior year, most of the time we won. But even when we won, there were some things that needed to be corrected. Folks, we can look at the back of the book, and we know that we win, according to the book of Revelation. But that doesn't mean there's some things that still doesn't need to be corrected in our walk. In our life that needs to be changed, that we need to continue to drive on and allow things to discourage us or keep us from serving the Lord. Every follower of Christ can overcome by remembering how brief life is, by remembering where our source of strength is, and then finally, number three this morning, by remembering the bold promises of the Word of God. In verse 58, our writer caps off the resurrection of our Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Again, we see that the therefore, my beloved brethren, is informing us that he has already given us the victory. We can stop speculating and begin serving. And we need to continue to serve until our dying breath. No matter what's going on, no matter what's taking place, there's a place where we can serve and make a difference. We can allow the naysayers, we can allow and have that chicken little syndrome, allow us to be discouraged, or we can just keep serving and do what we can do while we can be doing things. And just serve the Lord. Dear friends, again, as we look at that, therefore, my beloved brethren, he says to be steadfast. In other words, firmly fixed in place, determined. Dear friends, do you or have you determined to live for Christ? Have you made a decision, no matter what takes place, I'm going to serve the Lord. No matter how things turn out, I'm going to keep serving. I'm not going to allow the distractions. I'm not going to allow the white noise. I'm not going to allow all those changes interfere with my service. I'm grieved over it. I'll pray for it. I'll do what I can to make a difference, but I'm not going to stop serving and living for the Lord. Be steadfast. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all ages, world without end. Amen. Are we going to be steadfast? And then he mentions unmovable and that promise of the Lord. If we are steadfast and we are doing our part, he promises to do his. Unmovable, holding our position with intensity. Holding our position with intensity. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Dear friends, we are to be unmovable. Be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Dear friends, Know what you know. You've heard the illustration. They don't train bankers to recognize all the counterfeits. They train them to recognize the real thing. So when the counterfeit comes along, they recognize it. And the best way for us to defend off the cults and other things that take place, the lies and tricks of the devil, is to know the real thing. And so when something comes around that's not right, we recognize it right away into it. Steadfast, unmovable, and then always abounding. In other words, going beyond the requirements. Going above and beyond. That's kind of like when we're playing ball and you're blocking and the running back has already passed you and you just keep on blocking the man in front of you. You're not going to give up. You're not going to quit. And if you can pancake him and get it over with, that's what you're going to do. And as far as being a Christian, we should not give up until we take our last breath or until we hear that trumpet sound. I talked to someone recently. I won't share his name, but he referred to a hero in the faith that he had, referring to him being in the hospital here in Arizona, knowing that he probably would not be coming home. He was imminent. The doctor said you could die at any time. Of course, they called in the family. They called in the doctors. And they come in to be by his bedside and to pray with him, and with all the strength he could muster up, he told his family, hey, I'm ready to go see Jesus. I'm tired of hurting. I can't hardly breathe. It's all I can do to talk, as he took us, as he labored his breath to speak. But before, in his dying breath, in a time of, I shouldn't say dying breath, in that moment, knowing he would pass and having his family around, here's what he was concerned about. He was still concerned about souls. He asked one of his sons, could you get that nurse to come back in and I might talk to them one more time? She's so close to being saved. I know she's not. I've been able to testify to her. She's taken care of me, but I'd like to talk to her one more time. He was steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the grace of the Lord. He was going beyond the requirements. Dear friends, leisure and rest are needed. But many Christians leisure themselves right out of the will of God. We need to serve. We need to live for the Lord. Enjoy life. Enjoy the benefits that God has given us. And by the way, let me get back to this. I'm almost finished. Here's another reason why I like progress. I don't have to go to the stadium to watch a ball game. It can be there in my living room. I don't even have to go to the grocery store anymore. I just go online and order and it shows up in my front door. There's a lot of things I like about those things. And it's enjoyable. But this won't allow the leisure to take over in such a point and the progression to go in such an area that we lose our focus. James chapter 5 and verse 26. Faith without works is dead. Let's enjoy life. Rest when we need it. But also remember to still do what we can do. Dear friends, let's be steadfast, unmovable, and abounding in his work. May we be determined to go beyond our comfort zone that we talked about and reach out to our community and invite them to join us. Reaching all that we can. Dear friends, our efforts for the Lord are not in vain. He tells us, therefore, again in verse 58, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, we can overcome. We can overcome obstacles, progressiveness, the political situation, all that is going on. We can overcome all of it if we just make a decision, though the world may be against what I believe, though the world may not agree with me as I look to the Bible, the Word of God, into my church, I'm not going to allow them to erase my faith. I'm not going to allow them to erase my God. They're going to do their thing. I'm going to do my thing. I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep serving. Because after all, you never know what God just might do through some of that. I've shared with you before. Ms. Marlene, if you want to make your way to the piano. Again, I don't want to share names, but I can give illustration after illustration today of people who once were in prison, now serving God, preaching the gospel. Those who were once involved in drugs and illegal activities that are now serving and serving the Lord. I wonder how many people threw in the towel and gave up on them compared to how many kept witnessing that were steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the grace of the Lord. God can change and make things change. He can change the life of people. And dear friends, I don't know about you. If it wasn't for the grace of God and being raised in a Christian home, I got saved from a life of sin. Others may get saved out of a life of sin, but the salvation nonetheless is no less of a miracle. Are we going to do our part in saying, Lord, help me not to be distracted. Help me to be steadfast, unmovable. Help me to remember the brevity of life. Help me to remember where my source of strength comes from. Help me to remember the bold promises that God has given to His people. And that means me, and I can be steadfast. I can be unmovable. I can always be abounding in the grace of God, and then allow God to use you. It just might surprise you what God can do and desires to do through your life. So let's not fail or fall or succumb to the pressure around us. Let's keep serving. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. Our pianist will begin playing today, and I'll have a word of prayer in just a moment. God has spoken your heart in any capacity today, whether it be for salvation, if you don't know the Lord, or whether it be, Lord, thank you for the message. Lord, I know that I need to get back on track. I want to be steadfast. I want to be unmovable, Lord. I want to be everything that you would have me to be, always abounding in the grace of the Lord. Father, you know the needs this morning. You know the hearts and minds of each and every individual, Father, starting with this preacher. Lord, help me to be steadfast. Help me to be unmovable. Help me to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, I know that much is expected of me because I'm wear the title of pastor. Father, I don't want to do it because I'm a pastor. I want to do it because I want to be obedient. I want to live for you. I want to serve others. I want to make a difference in the life of others. And Father, is there anyone here today in that same category that would say, Father, as a Christian, as a believer, as a part of Harvest Baptist Church, I want to be steadfast. I want to be unmovable. I want to be abounding in the grace of God that He may use me. Father, help us to make that commitment day by day that we not allow the discouraging things around us to hinder us from serving you. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. Our pianists are playing. Some have come to pray.